Tune into KPBS Podcasts, where San Diego's voices come alive.
Don't let the algorithm tell you what you like. Find things that you really enjoy.
It's really powerful to see how the voice of the students impacted so much change.
Said, seguimos aquí. We're still here.
Listen now at kpbs.org/podcasts or wherever you listen.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Friday, March 20th. Police chief alleges discrimination by the city of Chula Vista. More on that next, but first, the headlines. A proposed ballot measure to keep parking free at city beaches and bays has initial approval from the San Diego City Council's Rules Committee. It now advances to a second committee for further consideration. If approved there, the full city council will decide if it will land on the November ballot. Councilman Raul Campillo says he proposed the measure in response to the new parking fees at Balboa Park. Another proposed ballot measure to curb what's referred to as dark money has also gained initial approval from City Council's Rules Committee. It was proposed by Councilman Sean Elo Rivera and would require banning campaign contributions from registered city lobbyists to the officials they lobby and real-time disclosures of outside lobbying on city policy matters. Elo Rivera's office says the measure puts focus on loopholes and legal gaps that have allowed special interests to pour money into city elections and city hall decisions while hiding who is behind the spending. It will return to the Rules Committee before the full council will decide whether or not to put it on the ballot. Things have been hot, and forecasters say they'll stay that way into the weekend. The National Weather Service is issuing an extreme heat warning that's in effect until 8 p.m. Saturday for our desert communities. This latest late winter hot spell has resulted in a record-setting March. Saturday, the first full day of spring, is anticipated to be anywhere from 20 to 30 degrees above normal for this time of year. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hola friends, the Tijuana and San Diego borderlands are brimming with captivating stories of people whose lives are shaped by the connection between Mexico and the U.S. On the Port of Entry podcast, we delve into those stories. Listen to Port of Entry wherever you get your podcasts.
The city of Chula Vista is facing legal claims from its police chief, who says city leaders are trying to get her to leave her job. Reporter Jacob Ayer says Chief Roxana Kennedy has been on medical leave for months.
The legal claims filed on behalf of Chula Vista Police Chief Roxana Kennedy allege defamation, breach of privacy, and a hostile work environment. Kennedy also claims discrimination based on age and race. Corey Briggs is Kennedy's attorney. He says the actions and the claims date back principally to a police union holiday party last December.
The false accusation against the chief that she did something wrong at the holiday party, and the subsequent initiation of an investigation against her based on false pretenses, that's retaliation and harassment.
In a statement, the city of Chula Vista said it has received the claims, denies the allegations, and will address the complaints in the appropriate venue. Briggs says the city has 45 days to respond to the two legal claims before Kennedy files a lawsuit. Jacob Ayer, KPBS News.
Most local governments in the county will need to make changes to comply with new state transparency requirements starting this summer. KPBS Public Matters partner iNewsSource has ranked our local governments based on their commitments to sharing information publicly. Katie Futterman is the reporter behind the transparency ranking. She joined anchor Debbie Cruz to explain the ranking and where local governments are lacking in transparency.
Can you give us a brief synopsis of how local governments were graded in your report? Yeah, so we had a big rubric that we gave governments points for based on their website accessibility and their meeting accessibility. And we then also gave them the chance to comment and give notes about, you know, other things that they might be doing as well.
What was the top performing city and the lowest in your ranking?
Oceanside was at number one. It got 19 out of 19 points. That is with some extra credit points. We asked whether local governments had videos with timestamps and navigation tools that you could click through when you're watching a video, and whether there were written transcripts of the meetings available. And in bottom place was Lemon Grove, which got 11 out of 19 points.
Where did they need improving?
They do not have videos posted through their website, at least. So as a result, a lot of the questions were based on that. There is a YouTube page where it seems like you can watch meetings of Lemon Grove. Notably, Lemon Grove did tell us that they are in the process of getting a contract to create videos of their meetings.
What were common things governments were missing?
So around 3/4 of local governments did not have the ability to do live remote comment. So that's like calling or doing a Zoom in so that you can speak at the meeting. A lot of governments were also missing the minutes from the second to last meeting and transcripts.
So those are some of the areas where they were falling short. Now, what will governments need to have by July to comply with the new law?
So they'll need to have that remote comment option that I mentioned. And the good news is the government said that they were planning to implement it. They will also need to translate their agendas to certain languages based on their population of the area.
When you were compiling this report, what were responses like from governments?
They were really good for the most part. We got to see what city clerks were up to, and they told us about their process and were excited about all the work they do. Also, governments made changes based on our findings. So, for instance, we had Imperial Beach. We noted that there were no officials listed on their agenda, and they, you know, said that they would consider changing that, and other agencies also responded positively to what we pointed out.
So what were things most governments did well?
They were all posting their agendas 72 hours before their meetings. They also, a lot of them had live stream options and videos that were posted afterwards so people could go back and review on their website consistent meeting times. And most of them had email address, at least for their public officials. Some of them phone numbers too, but that depended.
What was your takeaway on all this?
My takeaway was that the governments were doing fairly well. I would say for the most part, you know, all of the governments got over half the points based on our rubric. The top ones were only missing a few points. So there's really just a few things. But, you know, it's really important because this is something governments together are spending lots of money and elected officials are making a lot of decisions. So it's really important that their meetings are accessible to the average person who might not be able to, you know, go on evenings to go watch their meetings so that they can just go on a website and see what their local officials are up to.
That was Katie Futterman speaking with anchor Debbie Cruz. iNewsSource is an independently funded nonprofit partner of KPBS. A North County boarding school for foster youth has seen its population shrink over the last few years. Now, education reporter Katie Anastas says the county wants input on its future.
San Pasqual Academy has provided housing, a high school, mental health services, and more for foster youth since 2001. Shane Harris went there after leaving a foster home at age 16.
Nobody wanted to take someone who was close to graduating high school in. So San Pasqual Academy was the only place and the only option for me.
He says the Escondido campus, surrounded by orange groves, was a safe haven.
My high school GPA had been failing and there was a lot that was going on, and San Pasqual sort of gave me the chance to reground myself.
Enrollment at the school peaked at 195 students in 2009. Now, the county says there are 44 students. The number of children entering the foster care system is down. And more of those who do enter the system get placed with relatives or foster families. That's according to Alfredo Guardado. He directs San Diego County's Child and Family Well-Being Department.
San Pasqual Academy mimics what we've seen at the larger child welfare level.
As the number of students declines, he says there may be other ways to use the campus's 238 acres. One thing Harris would like to see stay is transitional housing for recent graduates. The county is asking for public input. An online survey closes March 30th. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
Have a great day at the beach, but don't bury yourself or dig too deep in the sand. That's the message in Del Mar. As reporter Alexander Wen tells us, the city has an ordinance banning hazardous holes on the beach.
Digging holes and building sandcastles is a core memory for any kids visiting the beach. But starting next week, Del Mar will have a new ordinance that bans digging holes deeper than 2 feet on city beaches.
Families come to the beach to play in the sand, and part of that is making sandcastles and digging, and 2 feet isn't very deep.
Sarah Kowalik is visiting from Las Vegas for spring break. She was helping her daughter build a sandcastle.
She's four, so I doubt that she would even, be able to dig that deep.
The city says it's for safety reasons. Big holes create tripping hazards and make it tough for lifeguards or emergency trucks to get through. Del Mar will also require beachgoers to refill the holes they've dug.
So cleaning up those holes or refilling them is more attainable than saying don't do it at all.
And don't even think about burying yourself in the sand. The ordinance bans that too. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
As we do for you each and every weekend, here are some weekend event ideas for you and yours. On Friday, SDSU will host some first-round NCAA games. Viejas Arena will host number one-ranked Arizona and seven other college teams who are facing off. The first game kicks off at 10:35 a.m. On Saturday is the Humane Society's Walk for Animals. It takes place at Kit Carson Park in Escondido. The event will have a pancake breakfast, pet-related vendors, and live music. And happening all weekend long is Liberty Public Market's 10th anniversary. The food hall is celebrating with $10 food and drink specials all Saturday and Sunday. Whatever you do decide to do this weekend, enjoy. That's it for the podcast today. This podcast is edited by Brooke Ruth and hosted and produced by me, Lawrence K. Jackson. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
It's hard to ignore that childhood has changed in a lot of ways, and one of the most striking reasons is the role technology is playing in it. From the NPR Network and KPBS, this is Screen Time, a podcast featuring conversations about technology and kids in today's digital age. Listen to Screen Time wherever you get your podcasts.